6. Experiments in Zen Phenomenology. The Single Eye. How many eyes are you looking out of in your present experience? Are you looking out of 2 small portholes in a thing, or a single open space? To investigate this, you will need to make a pair of glasses with your fingers, or use your actual glasses if you have some. Hold out your glasses in front of you. Notice the 2 holes in the frames and how each contains a part of the room. Also notice that the frames are opaque. You cannot see through them. Are there 2 holes where you're looking from? To test this, bring your glasses towards where others see your face. Notice that the frames grow larger. Each contains more and more of the room. Slowly bring them right up and put them on. Notice that when you do this, the boundaries between the 2 holes blur and then disappear. My experience is that my glasses transform into a monocle. Let your fingers drop and notice that what you are looking out of has no glass or frame. In fact, it is not bounded by anything. I seem to be looking out of a single open space here. We can call this our single eye. In the history of Zen, when asked, "What is the Tao?" Zen Master Yichu replied by opening his arms to the scene. Please do so right now. Put your arms out and trace out the edges of the visual field. Is there anything outside of the view? Notice that your hands blur and then disappear past the edges. This open space is not in anything. It has no boundary. If I shift my gaze, I see further things, but these things also move into the view. The view itself never has anything sensorially outside of it. This is analogous to what is presented on a television screen when it is scanning over a scene. The screen itself does not move, rather the scene moves. Recall that according to Zen, your true nature has no limits nor any size. I can compare the size of 2 chairs by putting them next to each other. However, there is no second gap to compare this one to. As such, size cannot be applied to it. Just as there are no boundaries around the space that I'm looking from, there is no boundary between it and the scene. There is absolutely nothing here to get in the way of the scene. When I look for my head, I find the world. The pointing experiment. The essential teaching of Zen is summarized by a verse attributed to Bodhidharma, the first patriarch of Zen. A special transmission outside the scriptures, not founded upon words and letters. By pointing directly to one's mind, it lets one see into one's own true nature and thus attain Buddhahood. But how does one directly point to one's mind or true nature, as urged by Bodhidharma? How exactly does one look within? Eyes cannot look backwards, but one's attention can be pointed in any direction. The pointing experiment assists one to turn their attention within by using a pointing finger to literally point to the spot you are looking from. Please do the following. Point at a distant thing such as a wall. Notice its shape and color. It is a thing that is extended in space. Notice that it is opaque. You cannot see through it. Now point to the floor. Again, notice the colored expanse and its textures. Now point to your foot. Again, it is a shaped and colored thing. Point to your chest and notice its colors and shape and the movement from your breathing. Now point to where you are looking from. In your present experience, are there any colors here? Any shape? Any texture? Any movement? Are there any eyes, mouth, or cheeks here? Are there any features of person? Notice that this spot is totally lacking in any personally identifying characteristics. Is there anything at all here, or is it just a transparent opening? Notice that there is a blur which you usually call your nose. Notice how big it is. It stretches from the top to the bottom of the scene. I find that it is constantly switching from one side to the other or disappearing altogether. Whatever you want to call it, this is quite unlike what you find in the middle of someone's face. In any case, it is the unbounded gap here that we are interested in. When I look within, that is, turn my attention 180 degrees from objects over there to where I am, I find that I am not a coloured, limited thing in the world, but rather a colourless, unbounded capacity for the world. Miraculously, this is not a dead void, but awake to itself, the finger, and the scene. Is this true for you? In fact, as there is no dividing line between the container and the contents, it would be more accurate to say, using a common Buddhist metaphor, that given reality itself is self-luminous. The mirror experiment. Once, as a child, Tung Shan was studying the Heart Sutra with his tutor when he came to the passage, "No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind." He was confused. He used his hands to feel his face, and then asked his tutor why the sutra said they didn't exist. His tutor told Tung Shang that he could not help him. Tung Shang spent many years searching for a worthy master to explain this and other mysteries of the Dharma to him. Finally, one day he was crossing a river and saw his face reflected in the water. He saw where his face was in his lived experience, and he instantly had a great awakening. Zen goes beyond words and letters, so merely thinking about Tung Shan's story would be against the spirit of Zen, not to mention science. To test it out directly in your own experience, please carry out the following experiment. Look into a mirror. You can now see your human face. Notice where it is. It is over there, a couple of feet away, not on your shoulders. It is also facing the wrong way. It is looking in, rather than outwards. How many faces do you see? Two or one? Notice the shapes, textures, and colors of that little face trapped behind the glass. By contrast, notice the lack of shapes, textures, colors, and indeed boundaries to the spot you are looking from. That face over there is your acquired face. When you were an infant, you did not recognize it as your own. It was just a baby behind some glass. It took many months to learn to identify with that face. Presumably, you learnt to marry that visual thing over there with the facial sensations you feel here, and hence you became boxed in, at least apparently so. Isn't how you are for yourself a total contrast to that little face in the mirror? That face over there is always changing. It was once a smooth child's face. For me, it is now a middle-aged man's face with wrinkles around the eyes and graying sideburns. By contrast, has the space you are looking out of aged at all? Are there any characteristics here that could wither and die? Is it any wonder if you often don't feel any older than when you were a child and are sometimes shocked by how your body has aged? That is merely how you appear to others. Seeing here is like having the ultimate facelift. My original face is always the same. Its complexion is always perfectly spotless. The spinning experiment. As we saw earlier, according to Zen, your original nature is totally motionless. To test this claim, stand in the center of a room and point outwards. Now slowly turn on the spot. From present experience, are you turning or is the room turning? Notice the door, window, and other objects move past your motionless pointing finger. Keep turning, but now point at where others see your face. By contrast, is what you are pointing at moving or still? Aren't you currently the still center of that turning world? Would you say that this stillness is full of motion? Now stop spinning and slowly walk around the room. Notice the objects moving through your still consciousness and bobbing up and down at every step. We can understand from direct experience, then, how Huang Po can say that a day's journey has not taken you a single step. Similarly, we can see why in a beginner's koan it is claimed that when I cross a bridge, it is the bridge that flows, not the water. These apparently paradoxical statements suddenly make sense when read phenomenologically. The closed eye experiment. We have found so far that though you appear as a thing to others, and to yourself in mirrors, for yourself, where you are looking from, you are non-thing-like. What about other senses? To test whether this finding also applies to other senses, please carry out the following awareness exercise. Close your eyes, or more accurately, your single eye from your perspective. Notice the room disappear and become replaced by darkness. Attend to your bodily sensations. What shape are those sensations? How many toes do you feel? Are there two feet-shaped things, or are there shapeless sensations that you associate with feet? Do the sensations form a precise body outline? How many ears do you have? Is there a precisely shaped nose? Would you know what a face was shaped like if you had never seen or touched one? Try touching your face. Notice that you can now feel distinct, squishy things. Do you feel a precisely shaped face all at once? Or do you lose whatever you are not touching? Are you in those sensations, or are they in your awareness? Now attend to sounds. Voices. A computer humming, bird calls, cars beeping, footsteps. Notice how you imagine what those things are. Are the sounds outside of you? Is there any inner-outer division on present evidence? Or are they occurring in an unbounded, silent awareness? What is your age on present evidence? What is your name? If you are a person, What kind of person are you? Aren't all of the answers to these questions just further thoughts and images in your awareness? Are bodily sensations, sounds, thoughts, and images in separate fields, or are they occurring in a single awareness? Now open your single eye. Notice the vivid colors and shapes of the room reappear. Are your thoughts and images back in a head box, or are they at large in the room?